This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour number two of VSiN Prime Time here on this Monday evening. That's Will Hill. I'm Tim Murray, keeping our eyes on Major League Baseball as the Yankees and Blue Jays turning out to be a pretty fun one so far. Aaron Judge and Max Scherzer going head-to-head right now in the top of the fourth inning. Looks like Aaron Judge is trying to hit one to Hamilton. He is swinging quite hard, Will Hill, to try to get a home run off of Max Scherzer here. Scoreless in the top of the fourth inning. It is not scoreless in Boston as Chase Burns chased from the game after just getting one out. And Garrett Crochet, is it jinxing it? No hitter through three. Just saying. He looks pretty sharp there, Will Hill. We going to see a no-no tonight?
FanDuel usually posts these in the middle of the game, so maybe I'll check out what they're offering here. It's quite tempting because, I mean, no hitters don't happen very often, but disappointing. Hopefully, you know, hoping for a good performance here from Burns and Crochet to get our under home. And just as a fan, you wanted to see a good pitching matchup, but not the case. Burns didn't have it earlier, and then just the wheels came off as he got bombed after that.
All right, let's head to our progressive guest line and welcome in friend of the show, friend of the network, Johnny Avello, of course, sportsbook director for the DraftKings Sportsbooks, joins us right now. And Johnny, we've got NBA free agency going on. No massive names being moved. We did see an interesting trade earlier today with the Denver Nuggets acquiring Cam Johnson from the Brooklyn Nets and shipping off Michael Porter Jr. So do you have your team on high alert this time of year, making sure that we could potentially see a trade? It doesn't feel like any big free agent is necessarily going to be on the move, but how do you go about adjusting on the fly to all of the movement that's happening right now in the NBA?
Well, first of all, good evening, you guys. And it's that time of the year where nothing major is really going, but there's baseball every day. There's Wimbledon now. There's some soccer going on. And, we have that steady grind now for about 30 days or so. But this is one of the items that the team has to keep a close eye on. Rockets, of course, you know, they've had a couple of big trades and their odds have plummeted. There was some money on them, but we, you know, by the team making those adjustments early, we avoid putting ourselves in a spot where the odds that we're given are too high. There's been some. I mean, I can tell you the one team that's not drawn any money is the Thunder. They're plus 2.25. It's really short odds. There's other teams out there to take a chance with. Lakers always get bet. They're taking some action. Warriors always get bet. They're taking some action. But, the team is always on high alert now. I think we're past anything that's going to make a bang where we're going to have to lower somebody 20 points or so. Everything now is just subtle moves.
When you have this time of year with not much going on, you're a couple weeks away from Summer League, you mentioned Wimbledon and baseball. Does the team come up with, you know, promotions, ideas to get people engaged in betting, different ways of getting people involved in this stuff? Or is it, you just kind of bide your time and it is what it is until football starts here in a month or so?
No, we're always trying to come up and be creative with some things. You know, like for instance, in the WNBA, we put up a proposition with Caitlin Clark and Reese back, I'd say about a week ago, with rebounds and versus three pointers, and it was really popular. So now what we're doing with Reese, we're putting up, Reese offensive rebounds. So we're always looking at some opportunities. We know we can see what the bettors want, what the bettors are engaged in. And so we go ahead and make a move and put something new up for the bettors if it's something that we think will attract action. And that's kind of the things we've been doing so far over the past week or so.
Johnny Avello joining us here, courtesy of our Progressive guest line. Of course, the sportsbook director for DraftKings Sportsbook. You mentioned soccer yesterday. We did have Team USA in action. They needed a shootout to beat Costa Rica. They were, if I remember correctly, north of $4 to advance, but they were minus 175 or so at DraftKings to just win the game in regulation. So the game goes to a draw, Johnny, ultimately because soccer is such kind of a unique betting style, the three-way betting. How was the handle yesterday for USA Costa Rica, and was it going to a penalty kicks? Did that help you guys out from a bottom line standpoint?
The handle was good. It wasn't as good as most of the baseball games yesterday. It wasn't as good as the Rocket Classic, but it did handle a fair amount of money. Anytime the USA is playing, whether it's the men or the women, we're going to need the dog there. So we did make money certainly on that outcome. I look back, there was some money on the draw. So it wasn't a complete sweep for us, but it was a good game overall.
Football, not that far away here. NFL Hall of Fame game, maybe a month away. Is this a time where people get their money back if they had NBA futures, money tied up with that, that people start to reinvest in futures in the NFL? And what teams are you kind of looking at in terms of the action that's interested you, people that are betting in the futures markets here?
Yeah, there's a lot up. And this is the earliest we've got most of the this stuff up. I mean, we've been up for 3 months now on the win. So, we used to put them up in June, and now when we get to June, they've already been up 3 months. So there's a lot up there. You know, in the futures market, they are betting some teams, certainly wins. There's a bunch. And with ours, you can take a team. Let's take the first team. You could take the Cardinals. And the median price for the Cardinals is about 8.5 wins. That's at minus 110. But you can bet any number you want. You can bet 7.5, 6.5, 5.5, 4.5, 3.5, or you can go the other way and bet 8, 9.5, 10.5, 11.5, 12.5, 13.5. So we've given a lot of opportunities. This creates more handle for us instead of being stagnant with one number. And so therefore, we're writing more money than ever on this. As far as the futures, the teams they're looking at, they always like to bet the Chiefs, and they're getting a higher price this year on the Chiefs than normal opening prices, plus 8-1. There are three teams ahead of the Chiefs, two from the AFC. And they're also betting teams like the Commanders. They're betting teams. The Rams are taking a little bit of money. So it's early. There's no concerns right now. Some pretty good prices out there. Some of this stuff, by the time the first two games are gone, some of these teams will be higher than they are. Some of these teams will be lower than they are. So it's probably a good opportunity for, if you have insight, who you think is going to start off well and get some better prices than you're going to get later on. There are going to be some teams, though, like I said, some teams are going to not start off so well and their prices are going to jump higher.
Yeah, not surprised to hear the Commanders as a team that is going to garner some interest. How well they played last year, blowing past their win total. I think their preseason win total was 6.5. They ended up with 12 wins. You've got a high-profile quarterback in Jaden Daniels, so they're going to be a fascinating team to keep an eye on this upcoming year. Johnny Avello joining us here, courtesy of our Progressive guest line. Johnny, switching over to the NBA again. Last week we saw the NBA draft, and of course, to no one's surprise, Cooper Flagg goes number one. And right now over at DraftKings Sportsbook, Cooper Flagg has his own tab, so there's a lot of different things you can do with Cooper Flagg. You can bet him what he's going to average, points and rebounds. You could parlay it together. You guys have got some specials, but curious for the rookie of the year market. Right now, Cooper Flagg sits at minus $1.85. Are people betting that, or are they trying to beat Cooper Flagg and take some bigger numbers with a Dylan Harper, an Ace Bailey, a Trey Johnson? Have we seen much action yet on the rookie of the year pool?
Some. They did get Cooper Flagg at a little bit better price than that, too. So, there is a little bit of money on him. They're spreading it out, though. They're looking at other guys. Let's face it, you're coming into the NBA first year. You have the potential. We've seen guys come in before with this type of potential. A lot of things could happen. Injuries. Cooper Flagg's awful young. He's got a lot to learn. So, you know, they are looking elsewhere for some of the prices. And I don't blame them because I certainly wouldn't pencil them in at this point.
As far as the NBA draft, I made a bunch of bets, got a bunch of CLV, and I got my butt kicked. I know a bunch of my buddies did too. I know bookmakers are hesitant to bet to book this stuff. It's challenging. It's dangerous. That being said, did you guys do well? I imagine you did. And does this make you a little more enthusiastic to book it going forward?
Actually, we didn't do that well on it. It was a small loss for us. And, you know, I told Timmy and Matt last week that I wasn't as confident with this as I was for the NFL. But, you know, we're getting better at it. You know, are we confident? We are confident. We continue to keep doing draft markets. The NFL, we've got our butt kicks too for the first certainly couple of years. We've just learned a little bit more. We're doing a little bit better job. There's nowhere near to handle on any other market in that category when it comes to drafts that even sizes up to the NFL. So the action we're taking is much smaller, and we'll continue to do it, and we'll continue to put up new markets.
He's Johnny Avello, sportsbook director over at the DraftKings Sportsbook. Johnny, always appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
There he is, the great Johnny. Thanks, Johnny Avello, giving us the latest from behind the counter. Yeah, it's a busy time. There's a whole lot of other different kind of intricacies out there. Hey, folks, EdgeBoost is the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring all gambling transactions are approved. No usage fees, no minimums. Earn cash back rewards, 100% approval for all betting deposits. Sign up today at edgeboost.bet. The promo code PRIME. Deposit $25, and EdgeBoost will match the deposit. EdgeBoost.bet.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is VSiN Primetime here on this Monday evening. NBA free agency is underway. We've had some moves, nothing too crazy. Biggest move of the night, Cam Johnson traded from the Brooklyn Nets to the Denver Nuggets in exchange for Michael Porter Jr. and an unprotected 2032 pick. So a whole lot to get to. We'll update you on all the moves, including an interesting one that was just came out regarding the Atlanta Hawks, who have had a very nice offseason. But let's update you folks on what's going on across Major League Baseball. There will be no no-hitter in Fenway as the terrible bet by the two of us continues to look more terrible as Garrett Crochet has now given up 3 runs in the top of the 4th inning as we saw a 2-run triple just a moment ago from, I believe that was, hold on, I think that was Austin Hayes had the 2-run triple there for the Cincinnati Reds. So 7-3 the score in the top of the 4th inning, and Garrett Crochet will not have a no-hitter this evening. He does have 5 strikeouts. Over-under was 8.5. North of the border, Yankees and Blue Jays, Will Hill. 2-0 is the score, bottom of the 4th inning. We were talking not too long ago about Max Scherzer's strong start. Well, it was a strong start, easy for me to say, until Jazz Chisholm hit a 2-run homer to right field. And right now, we sit at a 2-0 score as looks like Carlos Rodon gets a strikeout to end the 4th inning. So 2-0 Yankees after 4 innings in Toronto.
Yeah, Chisholm has been swinging a hot bat. Not many of the Yankees have been, but I saw a stat today that since the Yankees traded for him right around a year ago, right around last year's trade deadline, if you project his stats over 162 games, so all of his stats with the Yankees over 162, it's almost like a 40-homer pace, right on a 40-homer pace. Pretty good OPS, decent batting average. So not my favorite player, but he gives him some speed, some pop, some defensive versatility. You know, he did nothing in the playoffs last year, but that's a guy that I think I probably underrate a little bit. He is he's kept the Yankees afloat here. A lot of guys for the Yankees are slumping, not hitting. Chisholm has stepped up and really swung a nice power bat recently, as has Cody Bellinger.
So this is interesting. Nikhil Alexander-Walker headed to the Atlanta Hawks 4 years, $62 million deal. However, Bobby Marks just tweeted out, keep an eye on a sign and trade from Minnesota in this signing. Atlanta would preserve their $14.1 million non-tax mid-level, and the Minnesota Timberwolves would create a trade exception. So sometimes these things get a little bit clunky with all the specifics. I mean, is there a league that's more confusing when it comes to the cap than the NBA? I mean, you got the first apron, the second apron, all these trades and swaps and whatnot for the draft. We were talking about the draft, just how confusing they make it each and every year. But then you get Bobby Marks, who I think is great at what he does, adding that this could be a sign and trade, including Minnesota somehow, and it would help out both of these teams.
It is very confusing, and people that understand the second apron almost say it operates almost like a hard cap where, you know, you can't go above a certain amount. So it makes the offseason less fun too, because dealers just harder to do. Deals just become really difficult from a money standpoint. You have to match up the money, and you got to stay away from the apron. So we haven't seen as much player movement the last couple of years because of it. I wonder if that was an intended consequence, an unintended consequence. You know, the owner's getting sick of every 10 minutes, some of these superstar guys saying, oh, I want to switch teams. I'm not happy here. I'm not happy there. Even though I've got 3 years left on my contract, trade me and trade me to these places. Now, you know what? You say to me, trade me to these, you know, three places. It's not that easy because they might not have the flexibility to trade for you. And it's virtually impossible to make it happen. So there's, you know, there's benefits and there's pluses and minuses here, but it does make it A, complicated, and B, just less exciting here in terms of the player movement. And again, this is not, we've had a lot of moves, you know, with the Porzingis trade, the Holiday trade. But I wonder, I know a lot of people said this was going to be just a wild, wild offseason. I wonder if that's not going to come to fruition. And you're going to get a bunch of these moves on the margins, but doesn't look like Giannis is being traded. Yeah. I don't know that we're going to get like another all-star level player here on the move. Granted, Porter Jr. is a significant move, but that's not an all-star player. So I don't know. Do you get a sense here that we're looking at a crazy offseason, or have we seen maybe the wildest stuff that we're going to see?
Look, if LeBron got traded at some point in this offseason, that would certainly be wild, even in year number 23. But I don't think he's getting traded.
Me neither.
Brian Windhorst was pretty adamant about that. And, you know, teams that he had talked to, I know he opted in yesterday to a $52.6 million option. First time he's ever opted into a contract offer. I believe he had opted out of the previous eight. So he opted in to the deal yesterday for the Los Angeles Lakers. And yeah, I don't think he's getting shipped off anywhere. I do want to talk a little bit about Atlanta, because I don't know if it leads to anything big this year, but you and I were talking a little bit off air. I really like what Atlanta's done so far this offseason. And now you're adding Nikhil Alexander-Walker in this sign and trade from Minnesota. You, in the draft, were able to move back and get an unprotected pick from the Pelicans, which very well could be the number one pick. I mean, it's not crazy to think, Will, that the Atlanta Hawks could end up getting two out of three first overall picks. And I know last year when it was Zachary Richichet, it's not a big-time name like Cooper Flagg, but, you know, Richichet last year averaged 12 points per game, you know, a shade under four rebounds per game. Obviously, you want to see him improve. Certainly was up and down, but did shoot 35% from three, 45% from the field. It's certainly a talented dude down there, and you're keeping Trae Young. This is they go out, they get Kristaps Porzingis, which, you know, once again, famous last words, but if he can stay healthy, he certainly could be a pretty key contributor. In a wide-open West, this is a team that I think you're going to hear some people talk about, I would imagine, on this network that could, you know, do some damage in the – I said West, I meant East. That could do some damage in the East.
There's about, I don't know, 10 teams in the East, and maybe we can go through them, where if you squint, if you make a case, if you just say, hey, if things break right, not that they can win a championship or even get to a finals, but conference finals. I mean, let's just start to go through them. Knicks.
Yep.
Magic.
Yep.
Cavs.
Yep.
Hawks.
Yep.
Pistons. Maybe the Celtics. Pistons.
Celtics.
I don't have the list in front.
I mean, Celtics.
Celtics maybe not.
I don't know, but you still have Jaylen Brown and Derek White. I mean, that's as good as a duo in the Eastern Conference. You know, You know, they lost Luke Kornet, a nice role piece. He got signed by the San Antonio Spurs tonight. I believe 4 years, $41 million was the one there. They did sign Luka Garza for all of you college hoop fans. You know, Luka Garza on the move to the Boston Celtics. But, I mean, would it be the craziest thing in the world if the Boston Celtics, with Jason Tatum maybe back in the playoffs? Probably not. But maybe back in the playoffs if they made it to the Eastern Conference Finals? I don't think it would be – like, I wouldn't – what's the line from Christmas Vacation? I wouldn't be as surprised if I woke up with my head sewn to the carpet. You know, it wouldn't be stunning if the Celtics showed up in the Eastern Conference Finals.
What about the Sixers? Would you be stunned if the Sixers were in the Conference Finals?
Look, you convinced me of it last week, so I'm blaming you for the 12-1 ticket I took last week. I bet them, and guess what? We got CLV, though, so that's all that matters. Down to 10-1, baby. It's all that matters. But, yeah, let's run through it.
What about the Bucks? Would you be surprised if the Bucks were in the Conference Finals with Giannis?
I would, but...
Me too.
I would, but... They have the best player in the Eastern Conference.
Right. That's a good point.
I mean, I know it's, you know, you need other pieces. They did make a small move today. So Brook Lopez, he is out. He is headed to the Los Angeles Clippers, not the Lakers, the Clippers. They did re-sign, as I scroll through, Shams has been tweeting up a storm here tonight. They did re-sign Kevin Porter Jr. So that was a two-year deal that they were able to bring Kevin Porter Jr. back. But, yes, I would be surprised if the Bucks made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. But you got the best player in the East on your roster. I mean, here's the thing, Will. They've got shorter odds, the Bucks do, than the Pacers.
Right. Yeah, so I think 7-8 teams where you squint and you could see them in the Conference Finals, that's a lot. I mean, usually it's not that many. So I think the East is wide open. You're going to hear it's wide open. And I wonder if these teams are going to operate like, you know what, why not us? Why, instead of year in, year out, like the Magic had this thought process. And I thought at first it was an overpay for Bane, like a lot of people, but they, you know, we're going to be the 7-8 seed every year. We're going to be in the play-in every year. Enough. Who cares about these picks? These picks aren't helping us. Let's go all in and let's see if we can get a 2 or 3 seed. And you know what? We're the Orlando Magic. If we make a conference finals, it's a hell of a year. Not everyone has to win a championship to actually have a successful year, even though that's the goal. If Orlando can be in the second round, win a round or two here, and just get out of the muck that they've been in, I think that's a success.
Someone just bet the Atlanta Hawks, or it just moved because or they moved it because the Hawks are down to 12-1 now to win the Eastern Conference. So right now, the Hawks, now the sixth shortest odds to win the East, down to 12-1. Busy night all across the NBA. You know, before you know it, folks, you're going to be looking at those betting splits for the NBA. But right now, you can check them out for MLB. You can check them out for all the sports that are going on. And we've got them from both DraftKings and Circa. Our exclusive betting splits, you can check them out for as little as $9.99 for your first month. Check them out as a VSiN Pro subscriber. VSiN.com/subscribe.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Keep it rolling along here on a Monday evening. NBA free agency moves happening left and right. We got Major League Baseball going on. We got some NFL and college football certainly to talk about. Tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, our NFL betting guide comes out. Will Hill, did you throw any best bets into the VSiN NFL betting guide?
I sure did. I got 3 or 4 in there. So win total, a couple awards, some other stuff. And not only was able to, you know, to add a couple of picks, but when you're able to add the picks, you scroll through the little spreadsheet and see what other people wrote. And man, you're getting your money's worth if you're buying that, because there's a lot of picks. There's a lot of insight. There's a lot of good knowledge, good intel being shared. And it's well worth it if you take a look at it.
Yeah, it's an impressive thing we put together, and shouts to Zach Cohen and Adam Burke and so many others that are a part of our VSiN betting guide. As I'm scrolling through it right now, that is going to be available here shortly. And I want to scroll down to Will Hill. All right, let me see here. Steelers round elimination wild card. So did today's move by the Pittsburgh Steelers – make you feel better or worse about your bet?
Neither. I feel like they're destined for the same thing they're always destined for. A slightly above average season. They sneak in the playoffs. They don't win the division. So when you don't win the division, you get a road game. And you get a road game against one of the better seeds, which is usually either Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes. Not coincidentally, the three quarterbacks they've lost to in their last three playoff games. And you're on the road and you're a big underdog. And you can't compete. So I think it's a similar season. I think that, you know, eventually one of these years they're going to bottom out and they're just going to go 6-11. I've been thinking that the past couple of years, but I'm done fighting it. You know what? Give them their 9-8 or 10-7. They sneak in with their defense, their culture. Rodgers under a better coaching staff maybe plays a little better, but I don't think they have enough upside to win a division, which you're going to need probably 11, 12 wins to win a division. And that means a road playoff game. And that means an exit similar to the one they've had the past few years. This bet has cashed 4 of the last 5 years. For all of the love Tomlin and the Steelers get, they have not won a playoff game since the 2016 season. So it's been a long time, and I think at plus 330, that's a nice way to attack it. And give these books credit. They're putting up, like Johnny mentioned, a lot of markets, a lot of product, a lot of just options to bet where, you know, it's not just the traditional, oh, let's bet who's going to win the Super Bowl, who's going to win the division, the over-under. If you can think of a bet, you know, what team, what round is the team going to be eliminated in? What number of wins exactly are they going to have? There's so many different options that it creates some opportunity because, you know, the more stuff they hang, the harder it is to hang everything properly. And you can just find something you like. If you have an intuition on something, you can bet it accordingly, which I think is really fun.
So it's funny. The bet that I put in our guide as well was one that I talked about the day after the NFL draft when I was hosting the morning line, and that was Caleb Johnson to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. I was able to get it at 50-1, still 40-1s out there. And, you know, in addition to the acquisition today of Jalen Ramsey, they also brought in Jonnu Smith in that trade. And when you look at the ads that they've had, obviously Rodgers, DK Metcalf, Robert Woods, I really love the draft selection of Caleb Johnson out of Iowa. He was an absolute bell cow. He was that entire offense. I mean, the offense was putrid. It always is at Iowa, even though it might be a little bit better this year with the
It was a little better. It was decent last year. They were a sneaky over team last year.
Actually, you're right. You're right. They finally moved on at offensive coordinator. They brought in Tim Lester as the OC. So, yeah, they I give them a little bit more credit. They were definitely a better team offensively than they have been in recent years. But he was tremendous. And I look at it, I don't expect Jaylen Warren to be the guy all year long there in Pittsburgh. And sometimes, Will, I'm curious your thoughts on this. Because, like, you look at an Ashton Jeanty. Obviously, the Raiders, they drafted him to be the starter in Las Vegas. He was a 6th overall pick. He's going to be the starter. He's going to be the main guy. Right. But when I looked at Pittsburgh, they only had one pick prior to selecting Caleb Johnson. They picked Derek Harmon in the first round. They didn't have a second round pick due to DK Metcalf. So when I see a team utilize their second pick in the draft on a running back, to me that triggers something like they must really like this dude if they're spending their second pick of the draft on him. So I think he'll be the starter there, and I think there'll be plenty of opportunities, especially now that you have Rodgers, you've got some, you know, playmakers out wide. I could see this Pittsburgh team, things opening up a little bit, and a guy like Caleb Johnson, who ran for, what, over 1,500 yards a year ago at Iowa, he could have a big year. So, once again, it's a long shot, 40-1 out there at a couple of shops in the market, but that was the bet that I put in our guide, was Caleb Johnson win Offensive Rookie of the Year.
It's not going to get home, unfortunately, because R.J. Harvey is going to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. I hate to tell
that's
you,
okay.
I'm going to break it to you right now.
I'll jump in. That's okay, because I have him 50-1 as well.
There you go. I got 50-1 on him. I've got to look at what I got on Harvey. You got a good number. I thought I got maybe 40, maybe 35 again. If I'm catching 35, 41, I'll be happy. But I don't know if I got the best of the number with that.
Yeah, there was, I think it was a local show. I think it was stations here in Las Vegas hung a 50 on R.J. Harvey. I think the thing that annoys
Same thought process though, right? You draft him that early, you're going to use him.
Yep, but the thing that frustrates me is that they went out and they signed J.K. Dobbins. So R.J. Harvey, by the way, the running back from UCF, got drafted in the second round by the Denver Broncos. And when he was drafted in that second round, I was like, oh, baby, this is one I have to bet. And then I made the bet. I still like the bet at the price that we got because DK is down at like 20-1. But the acquisition of J.K. Dobbins doesn't make me feel great. And also just Sean Payton and running backs, man. It, you know, I remember. Do you remember? It was like August, it was like October or November last year. And he did this whole diatribe during the week. We got to get Audric Estime the ball. We have to have him run more. And I was like, ooh, all right. I loaded him up. I think I played some props on him. I put him on my starting lineup for fantasy. I think he had like one carry the next game.
Yeah.
That's what Sean Payton
does. Belichick used to be like that too. They would just, they would almost be messing with fantasy football runs where it's three or four guys. There was not always a rhyme or reason. And it was very frustrating trying to handicap who was going to get the carries.
Yeah. So that was one of my bets. All right. Another one of your bets that you wrote up, Giants under the win total. So you're going to, steer into the skid of the crappiness that is the New York football Giants. You're not a believer in Russell Wilson or Jameis Winston or Jackson Dart?
Just look at that schedule. I understand to sit here and play what's a win, what's a loss in June, July is a dangerous exercise. But if you just play it out on paper, at Commanders, at Cowboys, Chiefs, Chargers, a pick'em game at the Saints, which you better win that one. Then you get the Eagles, at the Broncos, at the Eagles again, the 49ers, at the Bears, at the Packers, the Lions, the Patriots on the road. Then you Commanders, Vikings, at Raiders, Cowboys. If you get to six wins, you know what? You can have my money. I'll lose the bet. I'll just take my chances. That's about as brutal as a schedule as it gets. And there's the saying, when you're the worst team in a division, you have the hardest schedule because you don't get to play yourself. And you got an inner division with Philly, which is the class of the NFL now, Super Bowl champs, Washington, which made an NFC title game, and Dallas, which I think people are sleeping on. I understand. I think people resent the attention they get. And when they're bad, it almost gets exacerbated or exaggerated because they get so much attention on these talking head shows. All right, the quarterback got hurt. They had a bad year. The defense didn't play well for a lot of the year. They had a bad year. The three prior years with Dak, and you got Dak, you got Lamb, you got Parsons. The three prior years, they went 12-5. I understand nobody likes the coach. I understand they're coming off a bad year. I mean, I wouldn't be would you be shocked? It's the same thing we were talking about with the NBA, with the Eastern Conference and these teams. Would you be shocked if they're in the conference finals? Would you be shocked if Dallas bounces back and won, 9 or 10 games and won a playoff game? I wouldn't be surprised. Would you?
No, not at all. I think they are a bit of a buy low candidate and shocking. I know everybody out there who is a fan of the network knows our morning show host, Dave Ross, who is just unapologetically a Cowboy fan and a Cowboy homer. And shockingly, Will Hill, you'll be surprised to know that he wrote up in our guide Dallas Cowboy bets. It's just a shock. I mean, the pain that Dave must endure every year knowing that he's going to put his money on the Cowboys and they're going to disappoint him.
He's just such an optimistic guy too. It just wouldn't, it wouldn't be on brand if he wrote anything under on the Cowboys or the Mets or Syracuse. He's an eternal optimist, but I agree. I do think Dallas is being slept on a little bit again. Not that I love the coach. I mean, there's plenty of things to not like about them, but I mean, the most important position is quarterback. Their quarterback was number two in MVP the prior season. I wouldn't be shocked if they bounce back and, earn a playoff spot or, in that range. They've been a pretty good team under Dak, even though I don't think anyone considers him a top five quarterback, an elite quarterback. He's still a pretty good player at the most important position.
Of course, I'm looking at the guide right now, which will be available. Dave Ross, Cowboys over 7.5 wins. Okay, fair enough. And to win the NFC East. Dave, you just, at least he's on brand. At least he sticks to his guns and what he knows. Should we go ahead, Will, and just apologize right now to Bills Mafia? Because both you and I had the Bills for the first time in their franchise's history hoisting the Lombardi Trophy.
If not now, when? It's been a long time for Buffalo. They've had plenty of chances where they were close, so we'll see if this is the year.
They deserve it. If they win the title, I'm going to slam you through this table, all right? In celebration.
Yes.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Will, our VSiN Primetime game of the night is not shaping up like we expected it to be because there are fireworks going off in Boston. It is now 8-5. Austin Hayes just hit a two-run homer for the Cincinnati Reds. This was a game that I think many of us anticipated a pitcher's duel. You and I did, certainly, with Chase Burns starting for the Reds and Garrett Crochet going for the Boston Red Sox. Total in this game closed at some shops at 7.5, and we're already at 8-5 here. But just a moment ago, we had an inside-the-park homer from the Boston Red Sox as it was Willier Abreu. He hit one to the, you know, that weird kind of point in dead center field in Boston? It's 420. And he hit the top of the wall, and then it ricocheted towards center field, and TJ Friedel was there, and he fell to the ground. So it was just one of those bizarre moments where that is not a ballpark where you typically think of inside the park homers. Joe Wheel, who is a part of the Red Sox pre and post game show, said that is the first Red Sox player to hit a inside the park homer since Eduardo Nunez in March of 2018. First for a Red Sox player at Fenway Park since Rafael Devers did it in the ALDS in 2017. And first for a Red Sox player at Fenway Park in a regular season game since Jacoby Ellsbury in 2011. So we don't see inside the parkers all that often, and we definitely don't see them almost ever at Fenway Park. But a pretty wacky play to lead to that inside the park home run. 8-5 is the score in the top of the sixth inning. Reds and Red Sox. Red Sox with that three-run lead. By the way, Will, you and I talked about it. Garrett Crochet right now at 8 strikeouts. The prop was 8.5. He's got 84 pitches so far. There is action right now in the Red Sox bullpen. So there is a little bit of a sweat for anyone who bet the over or if you bet the under on Garrett Crochet.
Probably still a slight favorite to go over here with a couple at-bats, a couple outs to work with. I wouldn't imagine he would come back out for the seventh, had already given up 5 runs and being, you know, into the 90-something pitches by the time this inning gets done. They have given him some leash in the past, but that's usually games where he's cruising. But to go back to the inside the park homers, you're right. That's not a park, you know, small ballpark. You don't think of that place as being a place to hit inside the park homers because the walls are just so close that everything, I don't know, everything is kind of condensed. But you mentioned Devers hitting one in the playoffs in 2017. I don't remember that.
I don't either.
I can't picture that in my mind because, you know, he is not exactly fleet of foot. And, you know, maybe it was a similar thing where he just hit it on the right spot, like deep into right center. The outfielders fell down or miscommunicated. It took a bad hop. And next thing you know, he's running around the bases. I'll have to go back. I'm sure that's on YouTube or something somewhere, but that's one I don't remember.
He hit it in the ninth inning. I actually just pulled up the clip right now. And of course I can't watch it because I have to watch a commercial with, Jason Bateman there in his Bartman deal. So I'm watching it right now. So he hit it to dead center, and the Houston Astros center fielder leapt up and tried to make the catch. He slammed into the wall, and the ball just shot the other way. And I'll tell you what, Devers was booking it around the base paths back in 2017. So, yeah, the last Red Sox to hit an inside the parker was Rafael Devers in 2017. And, yeah, the ball just ricochets to no man's land in right field.
Yeah, I guess when you could smell a dinger, you run a little faster. But, yeah, very unusual play. And that's, as I think Crochet just did get his 9th strikeout. So that one does go over. Just a wild game here, Reds and Red Sox, 8-5 here in the sixth inning.
Yeah, Chase Burns, as we talked about, unfortunately was absolutely obliterated. One of those what-ifs, if that double play is turned, what happens tonight? Or did Chase Burns just not have it this evening? But the phenom after his stellar debut against the New York Yankees gives up 7 runs, 5 of them earned, and does not strike out a batter, also gave up a 3-run homer to Trevor Story. So we knew we were in trouble, and ultimately the first 5 over came in the first inning in Boston tonight. So we head to the bottom of the 6th there. 8-5 is the score. North of the border, The Yankees lead the Blue Jays 3-1. Pretty strong effort for Max Scherzer. He went 5 innings tonight, struck out 7, so he went over his prop. His prop was 5.5, so he goes over that. Gives up 2 runs, 3 hits, no walks. Encouraging performance for Max Scherzer, but Carlos Rodon has been better. 5 hits, walked 3, 4 strikeouts so far. Hasn't been super efficient, but the Yankees will do lead 3-1 as that one is in the bottom of the 6th inning. Yankees with that 2-run lead over their division rival, the Toronto Blue Jays. Let me ask you this. How worried are you right now? The Yankees did win yesterday over the A's and the Rays lost, but the Rays are right on the Yankees' heels in that division.
Yeah, moderately concerned. I think the Yankees will be okay. I think they'll win the division. I think Fried and Rodon is enough at the top of the rotation. 3-5 is decent. Lineup is pretty good. Bullpen's pretty good. I think they'll eventually pull away and win the division. I don't know, 5 or so games. Tampa's good. I just don't know if Tampa has the upside to get to like the 94-95 wins needed to actually win the division. But give them credit, man. They're just a really good organization. Hurt them a little bit when you lose Shane McClanahan, who's a Cy Young type pitcher, and Wander Franco, who is looking to develop into like an MVP, at least candidate as an offensive player, just two dynamic players. The Rays are not the type of team with their limited resources, with their limited budget, that can absorb those kind of losses. So last year was a down year, but this year they bounce back and they figure out a way on the margins to get the most out of these pitchers, to scratch together enough runs. They score plenty of runs in that lineup. And Cam Manero, 21st homer tonight, he is turning into a legitimate superstar here. On his way to like a 35-40 homer season, he was highly touted. He is living up to the hype. He's a really outstanding player, the young Rays slugger. So that's a good organization. Them in Milwaukee just always seem to do more with less. You look at the team before the season, you think, oh, they're not that good. They lost this guy. They lost that guy. They don't have enough of this. And you look up and they figure out a way to get 86, 88 wins. Just really smart, really resourceful teams. But I think ultimately the Yankees pull away and win the division by, I don't know, 4 games, 6 games, something like that. I think the Yankees are the better team in the American League.
Brewers did lose yesterday to the Rockies, but I think they've won, straight series. What happened?
That game. You didn't know about it. I didn't tell you about this. I was on the air for this. So I had Rockies under 9.5 wins for the month.
And they went into that yesterday.
I had it. I played it under 9.5, and then I parlayed it with OKC to get a plus price. I wanted something back, so I took Rockies plus 2. It was 2-1 in the ninth with 2 out and nobody on.
Oh.
And Arcia hits a homer. And even after that, Milwaukee had plenty of chances in the ninth in extra innings. They hit a ball that would have been a game-winning double, missed by inches down the first baseline. I'm not even sure it was foul. Then they had first and second, nobody out with Yelich up. Yelich couldn't get the runners over or anything. It was just a comedy of errors, but just torture. As a better, when something like a 2-out homer in the ninth happens like that, you're doomed. A bunch of us in the group chat had it. Bear and some of the guys in the Bear Bets one had it. Oh. We were all just tortured through this together. And, man, I can't even imagine what that – I could have hedged and played like over 3.5 live when there was an out or two left in the game. But who would have thought to think that? I mean, to play that. So just an all-time bad beat on under 9.5 wins. Rockies do get their 10th win of June. Much to my chagrin.
Oh, that is brutal. And I apologize for my Washington Nationals, who lost to the Rockies three times in the season. But yeah, that is gross. A run in the eighth, run in the ninth for the Rockies yesterday. They win 4-3 over the Brewers.
They sure did.
That is gross. There's no other way to define that than absolutely gross. Going on right now, once again, Fenway Park, another homer. Jaron Duren just went yard down the right field line, so the Red Sox extend their lead to 9-5. How about this before we wrap up the hour? What a pitching performance tonight by Zach Wheeler. 8 scoreless innings for Zach Wheeler, 10 strikeouts. Hell of a performance for him, lowering his ERA to 2.27, Will.
I wouldn't give that Cy Young award to Paul Skenes just yet. I know he's got the famous girlfriend, and Wheeler's more understated. He's not as famous. He's not the social media clicks, but Wheeler is a damn good pitcher, and I think that he is going to be right there to win this award ultimately.
Yeah, we will. We'll take a look on the other side of the break where we're at from an awards market standpoint after tonight's performance, because that was a pretty darn good performance. Zach Wheeler plus 350 after tonight's performance. I could be tempted. We'll take a look at that on the other side of the break. But hey, folks, if you need a proxy, you can join the world's biggest football contests with one trip to Vegas anytime before the season starts. Trusted by thousands of players over the last 9 seasons, Winner's Circle Proxy Service helped clients win over $9.3 million the last 2 seasons. Learn more about using a trusted proxy service, winnerscircleproxy.com/VSIN.